All right, it's now time to look through the window of baseball with Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle, brought to you by Marvin Windows and Doors and Truett and White, the professional builder's choice. New showroom down in Monterey. It is Saturday. Bruce, how are you today?
Good, Marty. How you doing?
Well, pretty good. We've survived the All-Star game for another year.
Yeah, that was a tough one. I mean, I don't know, there's so much has been lost in that game. I wrote a little bit about it for tomorrow.
Oh, good.
Just looking back on some of the past games when guys went three innings. You know, there were many years where teams just used three pitchers. They threw three complete studs out there, three legendary starting pitchers for three innings each. You know, Willie Mays played the entire game like 11 times, and you can just go on and on with that stuff. And I thought the game lost an awful lot of momentum after the real stars came out. It was a great show for a while, and, you know, it's just so funny not to go on this, but, you know, there was a time when the game didn't mean anything and the teams really wanted to win and play that way. Now it supposedly counts for something, but nobody seems to realize it or care or act like it.
I know. You know, there's always something to pick on at the All-Star game. And, you know, is it an exhibition? Does it count? You're right. You brought up a good point. So Adam Wainwright. So, you know, he's having fun. He got in the spirit. Right.
Yeah.
He got in the spirit of his, come on, it's Jeter. I'm throwing her. And he said, right down the pipe, which is, you know, a baseball term. And Jeter, he had to hit it, and he did hit it.
Yeah,
so.
He had to hit it. It was a little bit on the outside. I mean, it wasn't a complete cakewalk. I mean, that stuff happens all the time, and I just think it's great that he did it. You know, in this game, it's just, he's like, it counts, you know, whatever. We'll figure that out later. Meantime, you know, it is an exhibition, and if there's so many ways it could be done better. But the fact that it counts for the home field is just an annual, it's just joke and a real blight on Bud Selig's awareness, for my money.
Yeah, I think we talked about this last week with Patrick. I know, you know, maybe the winner of Interleague each year, you know, which league wins the most gets the, you know, the home field if you want to play around with Interleague. But something...
The problem...
Yeah.
Yeah, the problem there is, you know, really, this is all about hotels. It's seriously what it's about. I mean, you have people descending on the All-Star game by the hundreds from MLB, the teams involved, executives, bigwigs, and everything, and they don't want to get stuck, you know, in a courtyard 30 miles out of town because the team with the best record, you know, achieved that, you know, 3 days ago.
Yeah.
They need to know ahead of time. And if interleague games go right down to the wire now.
That's
if
true.
If it were in the past where it was all over in midsummer, it'd be perfect. Whoever had the interleague. And that would give a lot more bite to those interleague games. But now, because they play it all season, that'd be kind of hard, I think.
Yeah, I'm thinking Detroit. I think I was in Dearborn. I think that was it.
Yeah, I've been that guy many times. Yeah,
I think that was it. Hey, yeah. They also made a big deal about not having something said about Tony Gwynn. And I think they did mention a couple. Ralph Kiner was mentioned. And then they tried to alibi. Why does everyone want to alibi after? Why don't people just say, hey, we made a mistake, sorry?
Yeah, I know. I mean, it was very bad. I mean, admittedly, we lost Jerry Coleman and
right.
Ralph Kiner, and we lost quite a few real
right.
dignitaries. At the very least, do a thing like they do at the Oscars, where they have a little montage of the people who passed away. And be in baseball, you could devote many, you know, up to a minute maybe of each guy. Take 5 minutes between innings and really do it. But I mean, some people were saying if it may have had something to do with the fact that he died, you know, from tobacco. I mean, and that was somehow a big black mark in his career. So, I mean, whatever it was not done well.
No, and then they didn't handle it well afterwards. So
no.
the aftermath of the All-Star game, it was a little better game, I thought, than normal. It seemed a little bit more competitive than normal. But the hoopla over Adam Wainwright and Tony Gwynn made me realize that all it is they're just looking for things to pick on, and that's the whole thing.
You know, how embarrassing was it? Here's Wainwright, you know, in a hallway talking to several people, and he's on camera, and he says what he says. And all of a sudden, we've got to get Aaron Andrews out there with him. Oh, gosh. Oh, what happened there? You didn't really mean that, did you? It's just, God. You know, the best sequence was right off the bat. You got the tape of Bob Shepard introducing Jeter.
Oh, wonderful, yeah.
Then you got players all standing back and applauding him, including Wainwright, everybody else. Then he doubles. Then Trout triples and Miguel Cabrera homers. I mean, oh, my God.
Yeah.
If you'd kept those guys in the whole game, it, you know, it, for both teams, it could have been a a much better show, but it's gone and it'll be forgotten. It already is, really.
Yeah, good. We've survived, is what I said.
Yes, we have.
All right,
so.
Here
guys,
we are.
Guys certainly did.
Here we are. Second half. You know, and people, I listened, you know, I wasn't here the whole week. I was down in L.A. for part of the week visiting the family, but a lot of grousing, you know, get rid of this guy, get this. And it's like they're in first place.
Yeah.
There's 66 games to go. What, you know, let's just play baseball with what you got. I mean, if the guys you got don't do it, Ben Zobrist ain't going to bring you into the World Series.
No, absolutely. I really think whatever they're going to get, and I'm sure they'll get somebody, it's not going to be Giancarlo Stanton, you know. It's not going to be David Price. It's going to be somebody that can help you in smaller ways. And meanwhile, they come out of the gate, you know, just tremendous. You couldn't ask for anything more than they got last night. So, and they're in first place. You know me, I look at the bright side, and this is a time to be looking that way, I think.
Yeah, well, let's face it. I mean, if you pitch, you're going to get there, and the starting pitching has been good. Bumgarner won. You know, he won his 11th game last night. You know,
yeah,
he's got probably another dozen starts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he could win 17, 18, 19 games this year. It's not, you know, it's not out of the question.
Absolutely. I mean, he could get up to 20, and, you know, people like to knock that stat now, but it means an awful lot to the players, and 20 wins still has a really nice ring to it. So
yeah.
That would be terrific.
And the whole league is still throw a blanket over them. The Yankees are beating the Reds today. Pittsburgh all of a sudden does something, and now Milwaukee beats Washington, and I'll guarantee you Washington will beat Milwaukee today.
Yeah, exactly.
This is what the National League has turned into. I still say this time of year, I know how they got there to be in first place by percentage points. I still think we have an unknown season ahead of us. I really do.
Yeah, I think if somehow the Giants could get a little bit of a cushion, and it wouldn't be very big, but by the end of the month when the trades come down, if they have a 3 or 4 game lead on the Dodgers, that would be pretty helpful if in the event that they do get David Price, which I think is a distinct possibility. You know, that would be a game changer, but you're right. It's parity is widespread. I think it's great, and that definitely includes the Dodgers as we see them right now.
Yeah. Hey, getting back to Bumgarner a little bit, boy, you know, he get his second grand slam of the season last weekend. you know, you got Tony Cloninger, and you got to go back,
yeah.
You know, to guys who've even hit two of them. You're talking about Gibson and Pasquale and.
Cameron Brad, people
like that. I mean, you know, Bumgarner's, and I realize you wrote today, and I agree with you, you know, let's not get carried away with his hitting, but it is quite entertaining to watch him swing the bat.
Oh, I'm the last guy to knock pitchers hitting. I mean, it's one of my favorite things in the game. I like watching any pitcher hit because you learn so much about him as an athlete and his dedication, and especially if you hear that he was a great hitter at one time and then he let it go or whatever. But, I mean, you know, to say that he should be a DH in in interleague games, I mean, they have figured him out. I mean, they know how to get him out. If you're hitting 159 and you're striking out half the time, you know, however, he goes up there, takes a tremendous hack, and I love to see that. I love to see, you know, Bumgarner Kershaw is the best matchup, in certainly one of them in the National League, for that reason as well as the pitching, because they both really take pride in hitting, can't wait to get up there. Love to go deep and help the team. That's what it's about.
Well, we see Lindstrom tomorrow, and he goes against mm-hmm. Brad Hand, and we'll see if he can continue the pitching he's done. And then his next start's pretty interesting on Friday night with Lindstrom and Kershaw.
Very much so.
How about that?
Yeah, that's old style. That was the one to watch a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, whenever it was. They had some classic matchups, and they always told you a lot. I mean, I like Kershaw over just about anybody these days. I mean, if anything, he's getting better. He's just about unhittable out there. But that'll be very telling.
Well, as
will the game in Miami, because we know about Lindstrom on the road and the heat and everything else. If he were to throw a gem, that would be very telling.
Yeah, they've got to bring him in a limousine that's fully air conditioned, and I lived in Miami. You just go from your air conditioned office into an air conditioned car into the air conditioned building. And that's the way it works. So you hope, but if I know the Marlins, they're going to crank up the heat tomorrow. They'll make it like 79 degrees in there tomorrow.
Yeah, and somehow the air won't be working in his hotel room mysteriously.
One last thing for you on this Saturday. You know, the Astros didn't sign their top pick, and this is that Brady Aiken, a pitcher out of Southern California, and he should have gotten $6.5 million. They did an MRI, and from the $6.5 million, he went to $5 million. He didn't want it. He's now going to UCLA. Well, the extra $1.5 million, they were going to give to another guy. who's mm-hmm. now not getting it, and he's going to UCLA. And the next guy was going to get part of the next amount of money, and he's going to LSU. So how do you like that? Is this what the draft has turned into, slotted money? And because you have to be within a slot, I think it's sort of backfired on everybody. This is only the third time in the history that a first-round pick hasn't signed.
Yeah, I've always been very spiteful about all the money these guys get for having done nothing at all. You know,
amazing, isn't it?
I'd like to see, you're going to get $200,000 if you sign, otherwise, and that's the most anybody's going to get. It'll be great. You've never seen that kind of money in your life unless you're like Johnny Manziel or something, you know. And take it or leave it, and then you prove to us, and then you get the big money. Although I'm not crushed over the fact that it's Houston, because they portray themselves as the big geniuses and they're going to win it in 2017. Or they'll probably go, 50 and 180. That's not even possible. But they
well, they're going to need pitching. That's where I come in. So the Giants should be on the phone and see if send some pitching to them and pry that second baseman out of there.
Well, if you could do it, I haven't seen much of Crick. We've all seen quite a bit of Hembree. He'd be tough to let go. But do you trade two really good prospects for a tiny second baseman? I don't know. But
yeah.
I'll tell you one thing: the fact that Scooter hasn't played yet is a terrible sign. I don't care what it is, whether it's not the back or whatever it is.
It's not
a good sign whatsoever. I like Panic though. I think Panic is a good ball player. I think the real need if. They say Pagan's not going to play till August. That probably means late August. You know, they never tell you the worst case, and it often turns out to be that. I think the outfielder might be the guy you go for. And if it takes giving up those two guys, I think I'd do it if it's a good enough player.
Yeah, because you're going to need him in the future as well. I sort of like Zobrist, because you may need a left fielder next year. And he could play.
He's a guy. Yeah. He's literally played every position except catcher. He's mostly played second base recently, but you can put him anywhere. Yeah, if they could, I don't know if I'd give up Crick and Hembree for him. That'd be a tough one, but he'd be a tremendous addition. He really would.
Well, seller's market, so we'll see. Hey, Bruce, have a great afternoon, and we'll chat with you tomorrow morning.
Okay, Marty, you got it.
All right, thanks. That's Bruce Jenkins, always a pleasure of the Chronicle.